ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
On arriving here, I made a request to Radhe Shambhu, who responded by making a request to me that I speak to all of you on one particular point. Just to demonstrate that point,
I just have to tell you what wonderful devotees you all are and how I have the very highest regard for you all.
That was a little unusual, wasn't it? What do you think? Well, that's what I think when I see devotees chanting Hare Krishna with their backs to the deities, that chanting Hare Krishna, and the deity is Krishna. So you're speaking to him, but with your back to him, which... So I just wanted to make that point, that the deity is Krishna, and as Srila Prabhupada mentioned it, in one purport, he gave the definition, a pure devotee is one who knows that Krishna and his name are non-different. In London, Srila Prabhupada called Radha Landanishwara. It's a very interesting story how the temple was being prepared and the opening ceremony was prepared, and then invited so many people and given a date, and the TV channels were all invited, and there was no arrangement for any deity. There was no deity ordered from India. There was no arrangement. You're going to have a deity installation. There's no deity. And it's, you know, you just can't, in London, especially in those days, you just can't go out and buy a deity, just like nowadays people say, oh, I went to Vrindavan and got deities really cheap. I got Radha and Krishna for only 500 rupees. No, very cheap god. So in those days, even if you went to Jaipur, the deity making business wasn't as big as it is today by Prabhupada's grace. You have to order deities in advance. You just can't. You don't have ready-made deities ready to buy. There's no arrangement for the deities to come, but Prabhupada had his own relationship going on with Krishna. So maybe you know that story, how one man phoned up and said, we brought Radha Krishna deities, but we can't install them because they are Ashuddha. And Radharani's left finger is cracked, so we can't. Maybe you want them. And then Prabhupada went there to the man's house with his disciples, and the deities were there. Prabhupada didn't even look at them. He didn't show any interest in them, apparently. And then they were talking, how's your family, what are you doing? Manson was trying to, you know, what about the deity? You wanted to sell them. And eventually I said, okay, all right, we'll have a look. And the man was talking, they're very nice, just his little fault, and the Prabhupada didn't look very interested. And then the man said, well, they're quite heavy. And Prabhupada said to one of his disciples, do you think they're very heavy? Do you think you can pick them up? So the one picked them up, and then the other one picked them up. Yeah, I think we can pick them up. They understood. Okay. Prabhupada said, okay, let's go. And they walked out, and then said, no, Swamiji. He said, no, it's all right, don't worry. And they walked out. And they didn't discuss payment or anything. They just drove off with the deities. And Prabhupada installed them. There's no impurity in Radha Landanishwara. So Prabhupada said about them once that Radha Landanishwara, they are not deities. They are Radha and Krishna pretending to be deities. So, Srila Prabhupada certainly had a very intimate relationship with all the deities that he installed. In Los Angeles, when he was installing Rukmini Dwarkadish, he gave them that name, but he gave Krishna a flute, which Krishna in Dwarka, he's not playing a flute, but Prabhupada's Krishna, with the name Rukmini Dwarkadish, plays a flute. And Prabhupada would always refer to them as Radha Krishna. So when he saw them, he said that, why is Krishna coming in this form? Because he wishes to speak with you. And he gave the example of Sanatana Goswami, who his deity Madan Mohan was saying, why don't you feed me properly? Krishna a flute, which Krishna in Dwarka, he's not playing a flute, but Prabhupada's Krishna, with the name Rukmini Dwarkadish, plays a flute. And Prabhupada would always refer to them as Radha Krishna. So when he saw them, he said that, why is Krishna coming in this form? Because he wishes to speak with you. And he gave the example of Sanatana Goswami, who his deity Madan Mohan was saying, why don't you feed me properly? You're just giving me some dry chapati. At least you give me some salt. And he said, well, you want salt, and then the next thing you want, rice and dal, and no end to it. Now, you told me to come here and write books and as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So like this, he was talking to the deity. And he gave the example of Vamshidas Babaji Maharaj. He was also talking to his deity. So Prabhupada said that Krishna wants that, but you have to become ready. You have to prepare yourself. Prabhupada himself was, when he installed Radha Gopinath in Sydney, Australia, he saw the devotees, they were totally untrained, unclean, malechers. Prabhupada said, they're completely malechers. And Prabhupada said, well, Radha Gopinath, I'm installing you here, I'm bringing you here, but I can't stay here, so you look after them. I don't have time to look. You look after them and train them up. So, we should bear in mind that kirtan is pleasurable, but the pleasure is for Krishna. And Krishna is his deity. He is Krishna. So, we sing to him and dance for his pleasure. You can kindly bear this in mind. Otherwise, it's impersonalism. We don't recognize, here is Krishna. This impersonalism is very deep. Srila Prabhupada, his pranam mantra, nirvishesha shunyavadi paschakta deshatanya. 2 points Srila Prabhupada again and again and again reiterated to his disciples. One, you're not the body, you're a spirit soul. Another, speaking against impersonalism. Now we might say, well, we understand. We did our Bhakti Shastri course. We know what impersonalism is. We're not impersonalists. But it's not just a matter of theoretical understanding. It goes very deeply, this misunderstanding. It's not just a philosophical misunderstanding. It's a whole state of mind born of envy of Krishna. And although we may not like to admit it to ourselves, that envy of Krishna runs very deep. Srila Prabhupada became very upset when some of his disciples, actually some of his leading disciples, after hearing from him for several years, they came up with the total philosophical, totally misconstructed philosophical deviation that Prabhupada himself is actually Krishna in all respects. Sakshad haritvena samasta shastra uttastata bhuryata eva sadhuhi kintu prabhoya priya eva tasya vandegaroshi charanarvinda. That the spiritual master is to be worshipped as much as, or even more in some respects, than the Supreme Lord does not mean that he is the Supreme Lord. This common misconception in popular Hinduism: Guru Brahma, Guru Vishnu, Guru Deva Maheshwara. What is the next line? Guru Sakshat Param Brahma Tasmai Shri Gurave. Well, according to this verse, there is no difference. But what is that? That statement also has to be qualified by other statements, just like Namai Vangsho Jiva Loke, Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. That has to be understood in terms of other Shastric references. Of course, Prabhupada said this verse is mostly said by the Mayavadis, although we do find it also in Garga Samhita when Krishna quotes this in a humorous exchange to describe Durvasa Muni, and Durvasa Muni later So this impersonalism runs very deep. To think that the Guru is directly God himself. Prabhupada became so angry at this that he almost excommunicated these disciples. You know what excommunicate means? It means to throw you out of the... But it's a term taken from the Catholic Church, where if you're excommunicated, that means that you're not part of the church anymore, you're thrown out of the church, and you have no means to get the mercy of God. You're finished. I guess the in Indian languages, Bahishka, just out, thrown out. So they weren't allowed to go into any temples. He didn't tell them to stop chanting Hare Krishna. So they were just wandering in the streets in America. Again, sannyas. Yeah, that's all right. Do or die. Srila Prabhupada is very upset at this misconception. So these rules and regulations that we have, there's often a misunderstanding. All these rules and regulations, they're just for neophytes. We should be acting on the platform of raga bhakti. But the rules and regulations are required. Unless there is actual rag, spontaneous devotion, then our tendency will be to slide toward impersonalism and gross sense gratification. So the rules and regulations channel our activities toward Krishna. If we don't follow the rules and regulations, then we tend to spontaneously gravitate toward Maya. That is our spontaneous attraction. Our spontaneous attraction of the soul is for Krishna. But that has become perverted so that it seems natural for us to forget Krishna. Srila Prabhupada would often say, what is the difficulty to think of Krishna? But for us, it seems very difficult. For Prabhupada, very easy. For us, very difficult. If we, what is the difficulty to think of Maya? We have no difficulty. But for us, it seems to be difficult to think of Krishna. Therefore, the rules and regulations are very, not very helpful, but essential for us. Without which, we may be practicing bhakti, but then it becomes shruti, smriti, purana, adi, pancharatra, vidhing, vina vibhu, without vibhu. Then it becomes aikantiki, harir bhakti, utpatiya, it becomes simply a disturbance in the actual part of the devotional service. So, Radhe Shyam Prabhu asked me to convey this to you. I asked if, while I was here at least, I could have the pleasure of seeing you all dancing specifically for the pleasure of Radha Kundali Hari. So he asked me to tell you all directly, so I have done so now. Now what more should I say? I'm just looking at the 12th canto of Bhagavatam there. Where that Shukadeva Goswami says that. He said, well, I described the dynasties of all the kings to you, and then what more shall I say? Okay, no, 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 okay. And go. That's all. After speaking the whole Bhagavatam just in one pada of a verse, then Shukadeva Goswami got up and left. That's all. When he comes, there's a lot of description of his character, his physical characteristics, and how he's followed by village women and children, how all the sages recognized him as being a great devotee. When he leaves, just, okay, nothing more to say? Alright, okay, I'm gone. He left. That's all. So now, building a big temple, big test. Is it? A big test. Maya is very tricky. Anyone ever notice that? It's almost like a trap for preachers. That as long as everything is small, it's relatively easy to keep everything very pure and sweet. And then we're a preaching movement, so we don't want to be very, we don't want to be very small. Purity is the force. Purity is more important than quantity. Quality is more important than quantity, but both should be there. So, as we preach, more people come, then more facility is needed. And when more facility is needed, then there's a big endeavor to arrange for that. And then when it's arranged, then there are so many rooms, and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, practically, it was the triumph of the Gauriya Math when the big temple of Bhag Bazar was built, but it was the downfall also. Downfall means there's no downfall of the actual Gauriya Math. It's, but at least from the external point of view, that became a focus for personal desires. He said, as long as we were at Uttadingi Road in a rented house, it was better. But now we have this big temple, then the men are all fighting. Who will occupy this room? Who will occupy that room? So it is the bane or the Achilles heel of, you got to stop, the translator stopped. Bane or Achilles heel, the weak point, you could say. Bane means the cause of downfall. That Kanaka Kamini Pratishta Bhagini. That is easy to translate into any Indian language except Tamil or Manipuri. In Tamil, Kanakam? Yeah, is they say? Tangam. Kamin, it will be a different word. That word is not used in Indian languages now. Street. Pratishta Bhagini. All of these, where there's money and manpower, then there is subtle or gross sex desire. Desire for honor and prestige. So even in spiritual organizations, where there's money, Kali, Kanaka, Kali has his foothold. And unless that money is purified by understanding that everything is meant for Madhava, the husband of the goddess of fortune. Tomar Kanak Bhoger Jana. This money is not meant for our own personal enjoyment, but again, the tendency is there. Sometimes it's said that power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. But actually that's not true. Krishna is not corrupted. He has all the power that George Bush couldn't even imagine having. George Bush is just an ant compared to Krishna. Whatever power he has comes from Krishna. Krishna is not corrupt. Prabhupada had the power. Everyone in the movement was doing whatever he wanted, but he wasn't corrupt. So it's not necessarily that power corrupts, but the seed, the opportunity, the seed of corruption which is in the heart, if the facility is there, it comes out. As long as there's no opportunity, then one may appear to be very humble and very good Vaishnava. But then when the test comes, when there is power and money, so like I say, it's a great test. When all these big temples and big opulence, and then you have to think how to bring money, and everyone is dissatisfied in various ways because every conditioned soul is dissatisfied. So unless we're satisfied on the platform of serving Krishna, then we'll find various reasons to be dissatisfied. It's very difficult to manage a spiritual movement, as Srila Prabhupada often noted, especially in Bombay. Prabhupada would say, oh, so many businessmen are coming and telling me you should manage like this, manage like that. They say, they don't know what it means to manage a spiritual movement. It's relatively easy to manage a business, a commercial business. You pay people and then you say, get to work. I'm not paying you to sit on your backside and stare into space. Get to work. So people work because they want money, and they're motivated by getting more money. They're motivated by sense gratification. But in a spiritual movement, the motivation is to serve Krishna, but we're not. It's to keep people motivated on that platform. It's not such an easy thing. No sense gratification. And often we find that people who are very good, it's just like you'll find in the, there are so many revolutions, so many revolutionaries. So usually there's some corrupt ruler, then the revolutionary comes and they organize a revolution and they kick him out, but often the person who's a very good revolutionary makes a terrible prime minister or president. And the kind of outlook that's required to be the president of a country in peace is completely different to that of being a revolutionary. So, kind of parallel example is that it's not necessarily that a very good preacher makes a very good manager. Often those who are good managers are those who are very, they have a propensity for dealing with money and ordering people around and all this. Of course, Prabhupada, he didn't differentiate. Nowadays in this song we talk of managers. Prabhupada also spoke of managers. More often he spoke of leaders. He didn't differentiate. When Prabhupada was here, of course, it wasn't exactly the same situation, but we didn't have posts in temples like general manager. The temple president, who was supposed to be a spiritual leader. So, it's difficult to find people with all those qualities. They're good materially at managing, and also very spiritually strong. They can keep everything in spiritual perspective. And even if someone is very good all around, then people will be discontented because they're discontent. They'll find some fault, have a revolution, kick out the leader, come in, and then it goes on. It's in different countries, these things go on. There's no end to all these things. So, like I say, it's a test. So better keep focused that Tomar Kanak Shakali Madha, all this is simply meant for Krishna's pleasure. Don't expect some kind of idealist, some imaginary perfection in which everyone does exactly what we think they should do, and everyone's completely together on every point all the time. It's not possible. It's simply not possible. As Prabhupada noted, whenever there are two people together, there will be disagreement. Especially in Kali Yuga. So what to speak when you have 200 idealists, some imaginary perfection in which everyone does exactly what we think they should do, and everyone's you know, completely together on every point all the time. It's not possible. It's simply not possible. As Prabhupada noted, whenever there are two people together, there will be disagreement. Especially in Kali Yuga. So what to speak when you have 200, 2,000 or more? So we can't expect that everyone will agree on everything or everyone will be satisfied with everything, but better to understand, nothing's going to be perfect according to our imaginary ideas. As long as the endeavor to satisfy Krishna is going on, we should be happy with that. And at the same time, we should be careful to see, because there may be corruption or bad dealings also. It's not unknown by any means. ISKCON, maybe in India more than any other country, has seen and is seeing corruption, because where there's money, there will be corruption. In India, it's part of the culture. In other countries, corruption is not so prominent as in this country, where it's part of the day-to-day life. If you want to... Anyway, everyone knows. You know, if you want to get government permission to do anything, then you have to bribe the officers, that's all. If the police stop you for speeding, you can either take a ticket or just, you know, give the guy 50 rupees and go off speeding off again. So it's not surprising in this country. It's easy money. It's easy money being a sadhu. You just walk up to people and they say, oh, sadhu, okay. It's not so easy, but it's relatively easy. It's easier than running a pan stall or driving an auto. So it's relatively easy money, especially that this one has a good name somehow or other. So we can expect that some people will come when the money is flowing in whose interest is more in the kanak than in madha. They may make a show of coming to serve madha, but their actual interest is in the money. So that may be inevitable. So we have to watch out for that. And we have to watch out for power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolute, that also. But at the same time, we can't spend our whole lives just chasing around after some kind of anti-corruption bureau. Just keep the focus on Krishna. We're here to serve Krishna. It's not easy to push on Krishna consciousness in Kali Yuga, in any yoga. The whole flow of the material world is away from Krishna. We're here because to forget Krishna. So to push against the flow of the material world, that will always be unpopular. That's why we find that Ramanujacharya, even in his childhood, there were attempts to kill him. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was preaching so clearly that it's actually amazing that no one killed him. Prabhupada also, he didn't want to go to Mayapur. He thought the government wanted to capture him and kill him. There's an attack on the temple in Mayapur in 1977, I believe it was. And they were looking, where is the old man? They wanted to capture him. So, preaching means to go against the flow of everything that people consider dear to them. So we can expect there will be opposition. some thoughts. As you are now well into this project, it's a new phase for ISKCON Pune, but it's a new phase, not just in, as you are probably already discovering, it's not just a new phase in terms of a new building. It's not just that you're getting a bigger building, it's a whole different paradigm, isn't it? Well, you'll find out more when you get to it. All right, so I'm supposed to go and speak on genuine and counterfeit.
Maharaj said in Kali Yuga it is very difficult to have even two people agreeing upon the same point, but still we have to push on this movement ahead. So as we are coming up with this big project, can you give some tips? How, suppose there are disagreements among group of devotees?
Suppose there are disagreements. Just suppose. Just in case.
There will be.
What to do with disagreements? Well, keep this. What is the center? Krishna. The center is how to serve Krishna. But there may be disagreements on how to do that also. So that we have to resolve according to Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. What is the example given by Guru, Sadhu and Shastra? And but then some people may cite one example and someone else may cite another example. Then we have to, in that case we have to appeal to higher authority. That's all. Otherwise small disagreements, just, you don't have to spend your whole life arguing over that. You know, whether we should buy one brand of soap powder for the devotees or another brand, and then, you know, discuss, have a meeting, have a vote, and then make a petition. Something, small things, let it go. I prefer surf, you prefer Nirma. Oh, it's some things, it's just not worth fighting over. But Siddhanta Valiya Chitte na Karo Halash Yeha Hoite Krishna Lagi Sudhira Manash. Proper understanding of Siddhanta is required. Nowadays in our society there's a lot of emphasis on education, which is good. Education and understanding Vaishnava philosophy. But it's not just a matter of understanding the philosophy, nor even of theoretically understanding in what's in Prabhupada's books. But there is the point is Siddhanta. What is the ultimate understanding of each point? That everyone may read the book and then you have a general understanding, but Siddhanta means what is the ultimate understanding of each point. So we should not be lazy to understand that. This point is often brought to me that, well, everyone cannot speak strongly because we're not on the level of Prabhupada. And the anecdote is often recounted how, probably devotees don't know it, the details of it. But Kirti Raj Prabhu was with Srila Prabhupada in New York City at the Indian consulate there, and Srila Prabhupada was speaking to an officer there in Hindi, which Kirti Raj Prabhu couldn't understand, and Srila Prabhupada was speaking, even though he couldn't understand the language, it was clear that Prabhupada was speaking very strongly to him. And afterwards Prabhupada said to Kirti Raj that I could speak to him like that because I'm an old man, but you could not. So sometimes this anecdote is cited that unless you become 70 years old, you're not allowed to speak strongly. This is called misunderstanding of Siddhanta. That was in a personal affair. When it comes to speaking philosophy, one has to speak the truth. It's not a question of you become 90 years old, you talk all rubbish till you're 70 years old, and then you start to speak the truth. You know, until you're, as long as you're 69 years old, 364 days, then you're not allowed to speak the truth. And then as soon as you hit 70, you're allowed to speak it. There's no such thing. Rather, the devotees are enjoined to always speak the truth and nothing but the truth. That is why we're studying Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the truth which is differentiated from illusion for the benefit of everyone. Unless we understand what is the truth and speak that, then if we preach anything but that, then we'll start to believe that the untruth is also the truth. So, speaking strongly, strongly means we have to speak Bhagavad Gita. It's not that we have to invent anything. We should never invent, but just if we simply speak Bhagavad Gita, the message itself is strong. This world is the world of birth and death. It's a world of suffering. It's a world of cheating. So, what should we say? The art of living, everything is wonderful, everyone should smile. What should we do? We should join the cheaters? So there's an example of an anecdote which is misapplied. That's why I'm saying Siddhanta should be understood. What is the proper understanding? You can learn all philosophy, but then you have to understand the proper application of that also. Otherwise, it will be misapplied. Yeah. So?
When actually you explained that, Krishna is there, and Prabhupada quoted Radha Krishna is there. But as the time passes, you become very complacent, and like in Mangalarti, you don't feel like Krishna is there.
We don't feel, that's why we have to hear. That's why we see Krishna through the ears. We have to regularly hear. Shutikshitapata. We will understand Krishna by hearing about Krishna. It's not just a matter of feeling. I feel this, I feel that. This is very popular in the Western countries at the present time, a manifestation of impersonalism, that people, they feel, what they feel in their heart. Hare Krishna. I have my inner voice. This was Gandhi's nonsense also. My inner voice, which is, I have a little inner voice, the little inner voice of Maya speaking. We should not be guided by an inner voice. As long as we are influenced by calm, crow, low, moha, madha, matsarya, that inner voice will simply encourage us in Maya. Therefore, we listen to the outer voice. Guru Mukha Padma Bhakya Chitete Kari Aika Arna Kari Homane Asha. It's not what we feel in our contaminated state is not the arbitrator of spiritual judgment. That's not the criterion. You have to hear and understand.
So, time up.